for he is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
He's risen from the dead.
Yes.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Greet you in the name of the Lord. On the way to church this morning, Sister Green and I had to come through three little traffic jams. One of them, the people going into the Lutheran church, and right next door, one into the Presbyterian church, and one right into the driveway of where the cool church is going to be. Looks like they're all moving out on our side of town. And normally we don't have any problem with traffic, but this morning they're all full. Today is Sunday. It's the first day of the week. And it was on that day of the week that the women went to the garden to anoint the body of Jesus, and he was not there.
Amen.
He was risen.
Yes.
And, of course, we worship on Sunday because it's the first day of the week, and we do that in honor of the resurrection. But the Council of Nicaea in 325 A.D. established a certain day of the year to be called Easter. Now, there's no Easter in the Bible. It's only mentioned once, and it has taken the name from a Babylonian goddess named Easter, and she had a magic rabbit that supposedly laid colored eggs that represented sex and fertility. And I noticed in the paper this week that one of the larger churches in the city was hiding about 3,000 designer eggs for the children to hunt yesterday and today. And I saw on the news last night that there was some place to where there was about 4,000 adults when looking for plastic eggs in a football stadium, because in all those eggs there were prizes, and one of them was a Mustang convertible certificate. So I am so sorry, but we don't even have any deviled eggs here today, much less boiled eggs. It is confusing to me, and I have lived in this all my life, but how confusing must it be for people who are non-Christian to try to figure out what connection do these things have with the resurrection of Jesus Christ? The Council of Nicaea, they established the day, and here's the formula I learned long time ago. There has to be the first of the year, and it has to be three full moons, and it has to be a Monday, and then it's the next Sunday. So if you go backwards, this is the Sunday after the first Monday, after the third full moon, after the first of the year. Now, can you repeat that backwards? The latest that Christmas can be is 115 days from January the 1st. And that'll be April the 25th. And a couple of times in the last century it's been there, and it will be that again in 2013. The shortest, what did I say wrong, Janice? I'm sorry, Easter. I hope everybody knows I'm talking about Easter. My wife didn't, so she had to question me. But the latest Christmas, Easter can be. But you'll remember it now. 115 days after January 1. But the earliest that Easter can be is March the 23rd. It's been that early one time in the last 100 years. I have a chart here in front of me for Easter for the last, from 2001 through 2100, and it'll only be that way twice. On March the 23rd, 1913, Easter was this early. And today is the second time. March the 23rd, 2008. And it will not be that way again for over 100 years. Now, I have been asked this question three times this week, and I do not know the details. But Brother Billy Paul is supposed to have made some kind of a comment that his dad said something to him about wait till Easter's early. Anybody know any more about it than that? Now, all I've ever heard is that Brother Branham said, remember that I'm an early riser. He likes to get up 4, 4:30 in the morning. So I know nothing about this supposed to be a special day because of Easter, but I do think it's unusual for it to be this early this year. I particularly looked at the moon last night, and the reason it is because we're in the full moon right now. And it's the way the moon falls, and as I said, it has not been this early, and this is the earliest that it can be. 82 days after January the 1st. So if there's any significance of this being written in the heavens, I say, I'm just glad I'm in church today, and I'm believing the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and I believe it's the forerunner of the resurrection of those which sleep in the dust, waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. This week, on Wednesday, I went up to Casa Grande and conducted a memorial service for a sister, Juanita Taylor, that she and her husband attended church here many, many years ago, late 70s, early 80s. They knew the people at the trailer park very well. Carol, are you here this morning? Carol, would you stand up so that Debbie and Denise can see you? Where are they seated now? Becker and... they're here. I saw them before church. Would you stand? These are two of the daughters. Sister Juanita had four. And these two I baptized them when they were little girls here in the church. Welcome home this morning. God bless you. We had a memorial service for their mom, and we put her and her husband's picture out in the vestibule this morning for those of you that are old enough to have been here with us at that time to look at them, and I'm sure that you will, those older that will recognize her, and if not, well, then just look at her daughter Debbie back there. She or is it Denise? Which one is it? Yeah, okay, that looks so much like her mother. Of course, now Juanita had gotten old like all of us, and we have her picture on the memorial thing, but that's the way that most of you will remember her. She had a daughter that lived in Arkansas and two in Arizona, one named Barbara Malott that lives here in Arizona, and one from Alabama. And those two came by yesterday and looked at the garden out here, and that's where we're going to put the remains of Juanita and her husband Bill whenever they get them back to us, and we'll have a memorial service out there. But we welcome these two today. Let's see if I've got this right now. It's is it Debbie or Donna? Your husband is a chaplain. Which one of you girls is that? Oh, you're the one I sat by. Okay, and her husband's a chaplain up at Florence, and the two of them are going to stay this afternoon over in the guest house and be in service with us tonight. So you folks will have an opportunity to get acquainted with them. But as we said, it is. The world is celebrating Easter, but we celebrate it the first day of every week. It's Sunday, and every day should be an Easter day. Now, the thing that we are really dwelling on right now in our scripture lessons and our teaching is the faith to be raptured. Well, it's the faith to be resurrected. And if you ask me what I'm looking for a resurrection of those that are asleep in Christ. I think that will be the next event that we will see. We have some things we want to let you hear Brother Bram say about that today. Another interesting thing that has come to the attention of the world today is that they've discovered a new star. And they discovered it because they saw the flash from its explosion. And I believe it was 158 million light years ago. Now, I don't have the ability to multiply how many trillion miles that is, but light travels 186,000 miles per second, and it talks how far it is out there, but let me see if I can help you to understand this. It took me a while. But this star, they say, back in the beginning, whenever that is, like the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It exploded, and it has taken that light that long to get here. It was bright enough that it could be seen with the naked eye. Telescopes saw it sooner, but it was seen with the naked eye here on Earth this past week. Now, how many?
7.5 billion.
That's not million, then. That's billion. Half of the age of the universe. And it says it's halfway out there, doesn't it? The way it said that. Appreciate that, brother. And I want you to know that's too far back for me to remember. But I want you to know that the same God that created you created that. Now, a lot of people want to come along and make fun of the Bible and says, well, 6,000 years, but that's how long man's been here. But in the beginning, God created it all. And if they want to say it happened by a big bang and an explosion, then they cannot tell us where any of this came from. But they're trying to discover that, trying to find that out. But maybe on a smaller scale, we can understand that the light that we see here now from the sun left out there about 8.5 minutes ago. And that's not very far, but then you think 7.5 billion years ago, this happened. Now, folks, that's getting pretty close to eternity. And remember last Sunday, we gave you an illustration of how much a billion is. If you guys don't remember, you know, give your wife $1 billion and tell her to spend $1,000 a day and you won't ever see her again. A million, she'd be back seeing you in about 3.5 years. But $1 billion, you wouldn't see her for over 3,000 years. Now, this is interesting to me because even the scientists know that there's something unusual happening in the heavens. The billions of dollars they have spent constructing the Mount Graham telescope. They are interested in what they know is coming. They believe there's something approaching. And there's that word something again. But we as a group of people know that something has already happened. Just a few miles from that telescope is the place where 7 mighty angels came down to visit Brother Branham. Now, in one of my telephone conversations this week, I was speaking to a brother from Germany, and he asked me if I had any more details on the comment that Brother Branham makes concerning the German eagle and the man that was coming from Africa that was saying, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Brother Branham had this experience while he was in Zurich, Switzerland. And he doesn't say anything about it except this one comment. And he is talking about an experience that he had in November of 63 or 62. And he talks about in the message, reproach for the word. And Brother Branham is talking about feeling the power of God so strong. And he makes his comment, the only time that I've ever felt it this strong was in Zurich, Switzerland, when this event happened. So that motivated me that I have researched this week. And tonight, I would like to give you a study and let you hear Brother Branham say what it feels like to feel the presence of God. You know, a lot of people are looking for something to happen, but what do we want to happen? Now, I have had the privilege and the opportunity to step into that presence near Brother Branham when he said, now that won't hurt you. That's the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, how many feel that sometime or another in your life, you have felt the presence of God? Now, we say often, like Brother Branham says, he didn't say, do you feel it? He says, do you believe it? But I have this understanding that if you believe it, you will feel something. And I don't think it is fair to us if we're expecting God to do something for us, for us to just say, well, you'll take it all and you'll just believe it and there'll never be any feeling about it. I think there will be some stimulation, some feeling, some response that will affect your carnal body, this corporal body you live in, that will affect your five senses. And so tonight, I want to get into that and I'll bring you those quotes about Brother Branham. Now, there was another announcement that was made this week, or made last month, I'm sorry, but it's called the world's most extensive and expansive scientific instrument that's ever been built. Now, I know that for the last 30 or 40 years, I've been reading about this thing, and it's called a collider. It's where they take and shoot a stream of protons at the speed of light, using magnets to draw them around this vacuum circle. And I know they started constructing one near Dallas that circumvented the city of Waxahachie, Texas, where Sister Green and I went to school. And it either got so expensive that our government dropped the project. And those caverns that they started digging are still there, and they're becoming tourist attractions. But Switzerland picked this thing up, and over by Geneva is 27 kilometers long, and they're going to be able to activate it here in a few days, and they're going to fire a stream of protons in opposite directions, and they will reach the speed of light being pulled along by magnetic power. That's gravity. It won't be fired with a rocket. It'll just be them. They'll be put there, and they'll pull, and they will collide and create an explosion. And they say that it will produce enough information that it would take 100,000 DVDs to record it on. Now, I don't know about these things. Maybe some of you do, but they talk about 15 petabytes. That's 15,000 gigabytes that they're going to have available, and that's almost the total internet. But scientists want to find out what happens when they can create an explosion of these smallest, minutest of matters that they can have. And they have no idea what will happen. Now, you know, Peter in 3:11-12 talks about the elements burning up with fervent heat. You ever thought about anybody lighting a stick of dynamite or creating a spark? I have read articles over this in the year that where Some people have said, don't do this. You don't know what will happen once it starts. You don't know that you'll ever be able to stop it. If you go back, let's say 15 billion years, and there was a big bang, and it started off like this, and it's still going and created a universe. If man has got to the place to where he can artificially do this by unlocking some of the secrets of creation of God, and they're talking about being able to create matter, that then man could create things. When I think about the signs of the times, in the days we live in, and they stand back and say, what a marvelous achievement. And one thing that the article that I read last about it said that when America dropped their program back in the 80s, it allowed $500 million that was designated for the American program to go to that program, and that helped finance it and put it over. And it's such a big program that it's taken global cooperation to do it. And they're going to continue to upgrade it until 2016. Now, to me, it's frightening. But it should be an awakening point for us. When I read Brother Branham, what he says about this, he says, church, wake up. Johnny said it this morning in a simple way. Have we done our all? Have we done our best? Are we doing what God wants us to do? I want to be able to say that I have lived a life to where the presence of God can have preeminence in our life. Brother Branham talks about just a shadow of the Holy Spirit in our life. Gives us the ability to create a world. And men are artificially trying to do this. At the same time, the medical scientist in Norway took stem cells where a person had lost their jawbone, and it took stem cells from that person, implanted in the fatty tissue of their abdomen, and has now grown a jawbone, and implanted it back in this person's face. This is a great discovery for medical science, because now they can take stem cells and they have the ability, they feel, to reproduce replacement parts. Whatever organ or bone you would need, they can instruct it from your genes what to produce. Now, that's getting close to creating life. And when people do that, they declare themselves some kind of deity. And there's going to be one that the whole world, when it becomes one, is going to step forward and going to be such a leader, he's going to declare himself to be God. And we see these things developing. At the same time, we believe that we're living in what the Bible calls the end time, the last days. The day of judgment is here. And I don't know how God can continue with his long suffering to let it go on. Now, we bring it back to ourselves, and we as a congregation of people, I would like for everybody else to understand this, but if they don't, I'm only obligated for us right here and the people who listen to us on the Sunday morning CDs. But we are looking for something to happen to us that will give us faith that we can be changed. Amen. Right here, this mortal body, as corrupt as it is, can be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that it can become glorified and can join those that are resurrected from the dead. Amen. Now, if you don't believe in divine healing, how can you believe in a resurrection? But this being what they call Easter Sunday, honoring the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I think it's timely that today we talk about the reality of the resurrection of those that sleep in Christ. Amen. They are not dead. Right. They're asleep. They're waiting for that trumpet call that'll call them out of the grave. And when they arise, then we which are alive and remain will not hinder them, but we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Now, we've heard Brother Branham 4 or 5 weeks now, you've heard me read the quotes, say that something is going to happen. Something must happen. We started this off by taking the scriptures and letting you know that Jesus said, I go away, but I'm coming back again. I'm going to prepare a place that where I am, there you can be also. Scripturally, we know from the Old Testament to the end of the New Testament, there's going to be a time when all the dead in Christ are going to rise and be together, and the believers are going to be united with them and caught up together to meet him in the air and be at the marriage supper. We know that event's going to take place. Brother Branham said, all Bible believers believe that. The world has got to where they call it rapture. That word is not in the Bible, but it's an English word that means catching away, being translated, being transformed, being changed. Something happening to you that puts you in another dimension. We believe in the dimensions that we live, but there's one that's more real than the one we live in. This one will pass away. That one will endure forever. Now, I am asking you, what could happen? What could God do? What could God show us? What could God tell us? What could somebody demonstrate for us greater than what we've already had that would inspire your faith this morning that you'd say, I believe that.
Right. Yes.
Now, we've read the definition of rapturing faith, rapturing grace. The other night we had a tape where Brother Branham said, I believe that this will start the rapturing faith in our lives. And then he gave us the 5 times that he had spoke the word. Now, I don't in any way mean to be negative about this, but I want to tell you that I am unable or have been unable to come up with any event or any action that God could do greater than what he's already done. And then I find where Brother Branham makes this statement. And it's in Countdown, 1964, February the 9th. Now, he cannot do one more thing and will never do one more sign before the people. That's according to the Bible. I want somebody to tell me one more sign that he's promised to do besides what he has done right here.
Amen.
So no wonder I haven't been able to find one. No wonder I haven't been able to think of one. Brother Branham said, there's not one. Do not be looking for something you've never heard of before. You see, here's what the enemy does. If he can't hold you back, he pushes you too far. You see these mighty, wonderful things. These dreams, miracles, signs, wonders, blind eyes, dead people. Things created, things spoken into existence. Storms spoken away. And then you get in mind, oh, that's wonderful, but what? And you're looking for something else, and you've overlooked what he's done. So I wanted established among those that respect me as your leader, he cannot do one more thing. There will not be somebody else come along that'll do something greater that hasn't been done already.
Amen.
Stop looking for it. Stop expecting it. Just start remembering what he's already done, what he's already accomplished, and start believing that. He will never do one more sign before the people. That's according to the Bible. I want somebody to tell me one more sign that he promised to do besides what he's done right here. as it was in the days of Sodom and Malachi 4 and them promises that he made. And what did he promise in Malachi 4? To turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. That's the promise. And then promises that he made. All hoods right into the same thing. There'll never be any more sign given to the church. The next thing you'll see will be a flight into heaven. Now, then, folks, that makes me as pastor feel pretty good. Just what I've been telling you we need to be looking for. Now, also about that, he says we'll see each other before we see the Lord. Somebody said, I'm looking for the Lord. No, you need to be looking for the dead in Christ. Jesus will not come back to this earth in a corporal body until he comes back with all of his saints in Revelation 19 to set up his millennial kingdom. What you should be looking for now is your loved ones. Or your enemies that made it. Do you know anybody that you wouldn't want to make it? See, you need to correct that if you do. The next thing you'll see will be a flight into heaven. They'll be taken up. Now, don't miss this, friend. Remember, listen at my voice. It'll haunt you all your life if you haven't got it. I chunder when you're suffering for your punishment and we're weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That voice will scream back and forth. You hear it all the time in that weary, spooky place of hell. Don't fail. Now is your opportunity. You know, there is just so many. I wonder if I could. Would it be all right, you brothers, to pray with me to help me pray for them? And he was going to have a prayer line. And he's asking if it's all right for the other brothers to look. Now, look, I've said some pretty rough things about airplane, automobile. Remember, they're horsepower, too. So all of it is horsepower. The church is just moving up, Holy Ghost power. It's the Holy Ghost that we're justified by. You ministers know that, don't you? The Holy Ghost sanctifies us. The Holy Ghost fills us. The Holy Ghost gives us rapturing faith. Now, where are you going to get rapturing faith? Amen. You got to have the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Now, Brother Branham said, now, I wouldn't leave this country here, and you all thinking that, oh, well, Brother Branham is something. I am not. I ain't even worthy to sit with them pastors. I have no schooling. I'm one out of season. And that's the reason God just lets me do this little thing here just to confirm what your pastor has been teaching you. They are man of God. Listen, if you're sick, you don't have to wait for Brother Oral Roberts or Brother Paul Cain or me or anybody. Your godly pastor, his holy sanctified hands upon you. You know, you call him to pray for you. He lays his hands upon you when you're burning with a fever. First thing you know, in a few days, you haven't got that fever and you're well. What is it? It's your pastor's faith with yours. Yes, sir. He's not a sideline man. Now, listen, I'm not saying this for my benefit. But you see, we get it in our mind that certain people can do things for God that others can't do. If Brother Branham was here, everybody would want Brother Branham to pray for him. Right now, maybe some of you people, everybody wants Brother Green to pray for him. Maybe you want Brother Billy Paul or Brother Joseph or some other minister. But you understand, Brother Branham's trying to get us to understand that you're believers. You have the Holy Ghost. And for you to have faith and confidence in my prayers or in Brother Branham's prayers is not what's necessary. What's necessary is that you believe God hears your prayers. And that promise is to you. Now, what if these things begin to happen when you prayed? They should. They must. Otherwise, you're saying, well, Brother Branham has it. Brother Green has it. Brother so-and-so has it. Sister so-and-so has it. What about you? You need that faith to walk off. Brother Branham's trying to demonstrate it here. Yes, sir. He's not a sideline man. He is God's servant right up in the front line with a two-edged sword in his hand. Certainly, he sure is. When I first came to this message and I met Brother Neville, I asked Brother Neville, I said, Brother Neville, how long did it take you to get used to having people say, well, Brother Green, can you get Brother Branham to pray for me? And if you can't get Brother Branham, will you pray for me? Brother Neville says, you'll never get used to it. But that's just the way people are. But Brother Branham said, that's not right.
Amen.
I want you to know your faith should be in God.
Yes,
yes sir, I have confidence in Brother Branham's prayer. But I need to have confidence in your prayers. If not, I'm depending on mankind rather than on God. There are people that are going to make the rapture that never knew Brother Branham nor me. And some of them stand a better chance than some of those people that's real close to him. Because they believe what he said and not just his flesh and his friendship. I'm going to ask these pastors to come here and stand with me while we pray. Will you do that? Come right here, and I'm going to get right down here with you. And he got off the platform. Let's make a double line right here. Now, when the people are healed, they can't say, see, I want your hands, Pastor, you, my brethren, and now we're your, if you'll just, and Jordan witnessed this over in the Congo the day that we ordained those several hundred ministers. Well, Brother Dioka had about 20 of us up there, and he put me here, and there were brothers out there in the line that they counted 1, 2, 3, 4, and they started getting in line every 20th one so they'd be with me. And when I saw that, I'd let them line up and then I'd change places. One of them got so upset about it, they told him he couldn't be ordained. But he wasn't coming to God, he was coming to Brother Green. You see, that's carnality. Even in the Bible said, I'm of Paul, I'm of Peter, I'm of Cephas. Well, I'm not, I'm of Christ. And Paul said, that's carnality. Let's come to the Lord with this thing. You know that you're not going to ask for it. Just look at here. What a bunch of ministers. Oh my. I've met most of them man. I know them. I know them by meeting them at breakfast and so forth. They're godly people. They're God's servants. Now, that'd be wonderful if we could look at everybody like that, wouldn't it? I want to tell you folks now, you're responsible for this. Any minister, you respect him. Don't you say, well, he goes over there and he's not in favor of Brother Green. You respect that man. Don't you have anything in your heart against him? Because if you do, you're in danger of hell fire. And you may wonder, well, how come God don't do this? See, that hinders your prayers. That hinders your faith. You know what? Some folks are so afraid. They say, well, why don't you get that person there to pray for you? Look, like we had brothers come here and pray for the sick. And they said, won't you have that Catholic nun come pray? Let me tell you something, folks. If a witch doctor prays for you and you're healed, God healed you.
Amen.
Not the witch doctor. Not an evil spirit, not Satan. God healed you.
Amen.
All healing is of God.
Amen.
What was it that caused it to happen? You believe that God healed you.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I want you to know that even unbelief don't hinder God. It don't stop him. Now look here, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost separated itself and tongues of fire set upon each one. The great pillar of fire separated, and each one received a portion of that Holy Ghost upon them, like tongues of fire. Well, if you put one tongue of fire and two tongues of fire together, you got twice the strength that you had in one. Remember, wasn't it Ezekiel in his vision with two sticks in his hand? He said, now look here what you got, all these man of God, besides that, how many in the audience out there is going to be praying? Raise your hands. Look here. Now, you people in the prayer line, look at this. Look out here where we're going to be praying for you. Hundreds of people. Now, how many people here this morning got the Holy Ghost? You got a lick of fire. You put it with that one and that one, and you know what you got? You got a pillar of fire. But you feel like sometimes you're all by yourself. But you take another and put it there in three, and the first thing you know, you've got a bonfire. And how much does it take to get warm by? One can create a world.
Yes.
Now, we go on and hear another quote, Brother Brown, testimony of seeing. I want you to notice it. All of these are in 64. See, we started these quotes off in 1950. And they go up through 65. And look where we are. We're getting closer and closer and closer. And we're going to get to the place where Brother Brown tells us what we got to have. A testimony of a sea, March the 7th, 64. And if there was ever a time that Pentecost ought to get with the mate, that's Jesus Christ. Because we're getting nothing but a nest full of rotten eggs, denying the faith, going into the ecumenical council and calling it great things, to sit by the Pope and saying, it's spiritual. Now, I know who he's talking about there. Somebody with a full gospel businessman had gone and had an audience with the Pope, and oh, that was a spiritual thing. But you know, Brother Branham, I'm asking one question. If you believe that speaking in tongues is the evidence of the Holy Ghost, what are you going to do when the Pope speaks in tongues? Then you're going to believe that everything he says is inspired of the Holy Ghost?
Right.
Calling his spirit to sit with the Pope. What's the world? What the world's the matter, you Pentecostal people? Don't you know the Bible spoke that things would happen? And we holler because the Methodists and Baptists are coming in, and then all these other things like that. Don't you realize that when the sleeping virgin come to buy oil, that was the very hour that the bridegroom came, the rapture would come, so secret going away. Some of these times you won't even know how it happens. It'll be gone and you'll wonder what happened. Like John came to the earth and they said to him, well, the Bible said Elias must first come, and he said, he's already come and you didn't know it. So it will be someday. They'll say, I thought this was to happen before the tribulation period. I thought the rapture was to take place. The words come back, could come back. It's already happened and you didn't even know it. It may be later than you think. Wake up, church.
Yes.
He said, I better quit that. I never come here for doctrine. I just thought I'd punch that in just so you could have that on the side. Remember, Brother Satan has said these big programs, one church trying to outdo the other, one denomination trying to outdo another, weeding out all the illiteracy, and have to go give them a test of psychology, have a psychologist to test a man before he goes into the mission field. Pentecost, he said, doing that. Now that ain't the Presbyterians, that's Pentecost. A psychic test is required of a certain group of Pentecostals, big group, before the missionaries can take the field. What if they had a test like that? They got a test. It was a Pentecostal test in the beginning, when they waited in the upper room until they came fire from on high and the power of God. That was the test.
Amen.
Now some worldly, half-drunk psychologist standing there trying to make the mind, if you're a little bit excited or something, say, you're altogether undone. Well, it absolutely proved that a man that's extremely spiritual is nervous. Look at there. Like Brother Branham said, if you hadn't had trouble with the government, you're not spiritual. If you're spiritual, you're nervous. He has to be in that condition to get into it. So there you are, see, and just messing up what God has tried to do for years, and come back around with their programs and them great. They're enthused when they see lots of people gathered together. See, if I can make all them assemblies, if I can make all them oneness, if I can make all them Methodists, the Methodists trying to make all them Methodists, the Baptists trying to make all Baptists, the Pentecostals all Pentecostals, oh, you can't do nothing about it. God's ordained those from the foundation of the world. Praise God.
Amen.
Acts 13:48. As many as ordained to eternal life believe. I want to believe every one of you is ordained to eternal life. That's all, but our big programs, we went off without that fire. We went off and made ourselves a homemade fire, as it was, and froze to death. Now, the identified Christ of all ages, Louisville. Notice again, we're going right on in 1964, in April here. Now, you believe that he's the same yesterday and forever? If you just believe it, just have faith, don't doubt. It discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. How many knows the Word does that? The Bible shows you've been reading the Bible. Now, no matter where you are, believe now the anointing. How many have seen that picture of the angel of the Lord that took over here? That was in Houston. Now, that same light is not 2 foot from where I'm standing right now, see? It's in another dimension you wouldn't see. We only live in 5. This is another one. Now, be reverent just a moment. Now, here's a lady. I don't know her. I've never seen her. We're strangers to each other, I suppose. And this is our first meeting, and just a man and a woman. If I could do anything for you, I'd certainly do it, but I'm just a man. But by a gift of God, I want to identify. I want Jesus to identify himself in the word that I have just preached to show that this is the hour, the word that's allotted for this hour that we've passed the denominational ranks. We're fixing to go to the rapture. Just trying to get people faith to believe. Just like the pyramid, see that headstone that never did come on your dollar bill. It's got, see now that ministry with the headstone, where it was way down here in the Lutheran Westland down through there, not a pyramid doctrine now, see, it's just showing this for an illustration. This headstone will have to be so perfect like the rest of them till it fit right straight into it. The ministry of Christ will be in his church. Not the prophet, not the pastor, not the deacon, in the church. Now we can find out what Jesus did, and then we'll see the people doing the same thing.
Amen.
When he comes to take the church to redeem the whole thing that goes up. Do you believe that? I just said this because I relaxed a little. It's visions are hard. That one woman touched his garment and I perceived virtue, that the Son of God, what about me? See, you understand? Now, if the Lord Jesus will reveal to me your troubles, now don't be scared. That won't hurt you. You have a real strange feeling, you see. That's when that light settled over you. Now, if that's so, the people will know. Raise your hand up. A real sweet, real fine feeling, see, just moved over you. Now, you couldn't hide your life at all. He said, now I can see it all. That woman had an experience. You're suffering with a sinus condition. Now, you got somebody else on your heart you're praying for. All right, that's your husband. And that husband has trouble with his eyes, which was caused by sugar diabetes. That's exactly right. See, all right now. Now believe with all your heart, and both of you believe. All right. Serve and according to your faith, be it unto you, my sister. Lord bless you. Have faith. Don't doubt. Believe with all your heart. And then we go to the 18th of April. A paradox in Tampa. Now, I was in these meetings. Now, a few years ago, they said there's no such a thing as divine healing. But when we stepped out to prove that there was, then the fire caught in the Pentecostal church, and we've had a 15-year revival from 1950. Brethren, them critics that wanted to give $1,000 for any proof, they shut up now because it's proven. Doctor's statements and everything, cancer, blind, deaf, dumb, even to them that's dead has been raised because you just received faith by seeing one thing done. The whole thing is based upon that. Believe every word that he said for healing. I believe in the rapture. I believe in everything that he said is going to take place. It caused a paradox, something that was unscientifically, but it happened. Anyhow, it was a paradox. Then we go to questions and answers, which is August the 23rd, 1964, the first time I was ever in a service at Jeffersonville. And here's what Brother Branham said that day. All right, now the fifth question. This is on page 933, it's question number 240. Will the bride be gathered together in one place at the rapture? And will it be in the West? Nope, don't have to be there. Yeah, the bride will be gathered together in one place. I've always believed that.
Yes.
That is true, but not until the resurrection. Now, here's where I get my thought, that the resurrection is going to change us. We begin to see our loved ones. Don't tell me that's not going to change you. But now, we'll go into this in detail later, but in Matthew 27, just one little statement. And after the graves, after the resurrection, the graves were opened, and many of the Old Testament saints walked the streets of Jerusalem.
Amen.
And Brother Branham mentioned it one time on the rapture tape. And how many people do you know that you ever heard them get excited about seeing Abraham and Sarah? We got more excitement out of it at the rapture in Yuma than they did in the Jerusalem. And how many believe it happened?
Amen.
Brother Branham said it's the first rapture of the New Testament.
Right.
One of these days, There's going to be a resurrection. These girls back here is going to see their mama. I'm going to see my parents. And when that resurrection takes place, don't tell me there's not something going to change about you. You're talking about goosebumps and chills and fevers and tingles and excitement. Is everybody going to believe it? No. Are you going to believe it? That's rapturing faith. For we which are alive and remain are the coming of the Lord. Ephesians, Thessalonians, I believe it. We which are alive and remain are the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Therefore the bride will be together when he goes to meet the Lord. Amen. Now, I'm going to say this. This is me talking. But I've always said that could be a tent. What a tent meeting that would be. How are you going to get there? He'll tell you in a minute. You'll travel as a thought. The bride will all be together when he goes to meet the Lord. See, it'll be together. But it don't necessarily mean that they all have to be sitting in one place like this, because the bride sleeping in the dust of the earth around the world, from the Arctic to the tropics, and from the east to the west, and from the north to the south. Jesus said, when the Son of Man shall appear, why, I said, it'd be like the light that shines from the east even unto the west. The whole thing, there'd be a resurrection, a rapture, and away it'll go, and before it ever go up to meet him. Watch the wisdom of the Lord. Now let's say, for instance, in talking this, I'm saying this through thoughts of grace and faith in the word that I say, throwing myself in with you and with the whole body of Christ universally. I believe that. And when I say we, then I mean by grace, I believe it. By faith, I believe it in his grace that we will be among those people that will be caught up. Now, the first thing happens when we're resurrected. The ones which are living will just still remain. The resurrection will set in first, the resurrection of those that are asleep. There'll be awakening time. And those which are asleep in the dust now, not those that are asleep in sin, because they sleep on, right on. They don't awake for another 1,000 years. But those who are sleeping in the dust will be awakened first. And these corruptible bodies will put on incorruption in rapturing grace of the Lord. And then we'll all get together. And when they begin to get together, then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. These mortal bodies will not see death. But just all of a sudden, there'll be like a sweep go over us, and you're changed. You're turned back like Abraham was, from an old man to a young man, from an old woman to a young woman. What's this sudden change? And after a while, here we go. You're traveling like a thought. And you can see those then who are already resurrected. What an hour. Then we'll gather with them and then be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. What a day that'll be. What a gathering that'll be. What a gathering of the faithful that will be. Now, it's not necessary for you to bury your uncle in southern Kentucky that brought up to Indiana, buried in Indiana. He has to be taken to southern Kentucky. Nowhere. They're dead in the sea, shall rise from the sea. They're destroyed in that arena and eat up by the lions. Those who are thrown in the fire furnaces, and not even the bones will be left to the dust. They shall still rise, whether they were in Rome or the arena at Rome, or whether they were in the tropic jungle to the south and the frozen region to the north. They'll rise from the dead and be changed and be brought up, and the living shall be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, and be caught up together. Look at the missionaries that died down there in the fields of Africa. Look at them. That's died up yonder in the frozen regions of the north. Look at them that died in the arena all over the world in the Congo. And I wondered why he mentioned that. And all around across the world, they've died everywhere in China, Japan, around the world. And the coming of the Lord will be universal. The rapture will be. Watch the changing. There'll be two in the bed. I'll take one and leave one the same moment. There'll be two in the field. I'll take one and leave one. One on the dark side of the earth, one on the light side of the earth. See, it's a universal rapture. Yes, the church will all be together. But after the resurrection and the rapture is set in. Now, if that's not the way you see it, well, that's all right now. In other words, I won't put you out if you don't see it like I see it. Why can't we have that much love about us, huh? We're taping this, you see. I'm not exactly talking when I say that. You know what I hear Brother Bram saying there? This is not me just running off my mouth. I'm getting some inspiration here. This is being taped. I'm really glad you can read it this morning. You see, and it might be other ministers who disagree with that. That's all right. And then we go to 60. We go back one. We go back 1 year because I want to put this one here. Calling Jesus on the scene, 63, August the 4th, paragraph 131. Now, if a man walked on this platform tonight with nail scars in his hands and thorn marks across here, that wouldn't be God. We've had so much of that in the last day, see. Well, any hypocrite could do that, see. Any impersonator, imposter could do that. But the only way you would know Jesus was by his works. And that man would be trying to make himself Jesus, and Jesus will not be seen in that kind of a body until we see his coming.
Amen.
And when will that be? Revelation 19. There would be false Christ rise in the last days, he said, and would show great wonders, great signs. But still, that isn't it. For as the lightning cometh from the east and shineth to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. But how are we to know that he is with us now? In what form? Listen to this now. Not by intellectual conceptions. Don't prove in their life. Not by saying, I believe. That doesn't do it. It's got to be something happened to you that the Holy Spirit himself, that is God's vindication.
Yes.
Now, I would say that if we could believe everything that God said and not doubt anything, we would have perfect faith. Now, you may not realize the importance of Brother Branham's servant, perfect faith, until you hear these excerpts from it we're going to play you right now. I want you to listen to what Brother Branham says you must have in order to be changed, to be resurrected. And he preaches it in perfect faith. We'll hear Brother Branham say this now.
Nobody could understand him. And so when a man lives by faith and walks by faith, I mean substance faith, he is isolated from the entire world and becomes a new creature in Christ. There, now you're getting into bride material.
Amen.
You're getting into rapture condition now.
Yes.
That means for each one of us.
Amen.
Help us. Help us. Not just the pastors.
Help.
Deacons, trustees, that means for the laity.
Amen.
Every individual walks in a world God alone. You're baptized into this kingdom. And there's nobody in there but you and God. See? He gives the orders and you pack them out. Whatever he says, there's not a shadow of doubt nowhere. You walk right on. If the Lord says this, there's nobody in the world can talk you out of it. You go right on into the same. Now, you're coming into perfect faith. Perfect perfection that cannot fail. That faith never fails. Yes. He was a mystic to them with his perfect faith, and so is it now with those who have perfect faith are a mystic to others. We are taught to resist the devil and he will flee from us.
Amen.
Now, to resist is to just simply turn down.
Amen.
Just resisting, that is just walk away from it. God said a certain thing, no matter what he's trying to tell you, you don't even listen to him. Yeah, your ears are deaf to anything else but what the Spirit says. See, he that has an ear that listens, see what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The one that's got the listening post that catches what the Spirit says to the churches. See? What Satan says, well, now this can't, that don't have nothing to do. Well, if you teach that, the denomination, that don't have nothing to do with it. It goes right on just the same. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. You know, in the Bible, it's always constantly saying that, to him that has faith, the he that has an ear to hear, let him hear.
Yeah.
See? He that has wisdom, let him count the numbers of the beast. All these different things, he that has, let him tell it to the rest of them that they might have.
Yeah.
And that's about faith we're talking about now. Faith that you've got to have, that perfect faith.
Amen.
That faith that says yes. There's nothing to say no.
That's right.
When God says yes. See? When he says yes, it's yes. Nothing else can ever take it from him.
Yes.
With his perfect faith, he was very strange. And the devil didn't stay around him very long. We got it in the lesson this morning. When he come with that great big fluffle of intellectual conception, he fluffled up against Jesus there. When he come, we found out he hit a 10,000-volt line. And throwed him right back again. Yes, sir. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. You got a shock then. You come a little softer the next time. One said, now, you're a great man. You puff yourself up here and be somebody. To get behind me, Satan. Oh, my. What he meant, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. See, he proved himself unto Satan that he was the Lord God.
Amen.
For it is written, thou shalt not tempt. Now, if Satan didn't know that that was the Lord God, he said, wait a minute, you're not that person. But he knows better than the Amen. Baby. He knows what ground to stand on. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And that's who he was.
Amen.
And Satan knows better than to say that because Jesus' works had already proved that he was the Lord thy God. Notice. Now, another. Perfect faith is a master of all circumstances.
Amen.
Perfect faith masters all circumstances. No matter what it is, it masters it. Now just watch. When you believe anything, do anything, and you got faith in what you're doing, no matter what the circumstance is, that don't have one thing to do with it. See? It masters that circumstance. If it's in a room of sickness, and the Lord's revealed that this certain thing's going to happen, you just speak it and go on. Just don't ask any questions. It's already over. Just keep going. See? It masters all circumstances.
Amen.
Well, if you do this, that, see, it already got it mastered. See? Faith believes that God will work it out. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he'll do it anyhow.
Amen.
It masters all circumstances. And faith and love is relation.
Amen.
Because you can't have faith unless you've got love, because your faith is in a God who is the very essence of love.
Yes.
Faith and love works together. Here, just like a young couple. You take a young man, a young woman, and they fall in love with one another. And as they go along and begin to know one another more, their hearts just begin to beat as one. See? Yes, they're not husband and wife, but their love binds them together, and they have confidence in one another. Now, if they really love one another, really love, and you know that this girl loves you, and she knows that you love her, you've got confidence, faith in one another. You got faith in one another. If you didn't, you better not marry her. Notice you got to have faith. And you separate them and put one extreme south and one extreme north, they still, that love beats one another no matter where they're at. They're just as true to one another as they can be. Because they love one another. And if you love the Lord, it's not trying to dodge hell, but you love the Lord, then you have faith in God. If you love him. Like a young girl just happened here in Louisville not long ago. A woman, she hasn't been a Christian for many years, but her husband had just fell in love. She fell in love with this man. He had been a Christian a couple of years. And so they got married. They loved and had confidence in one another. And they got married. And so the woman said to the man, said, hubby, it must be hard on you. You're just a young Christian. You've had so much to go through with drinking, is what it was. Said, you've had so much to go through with. And said, I know you're about to be tempted awfully hard. And said, I want you to know one thing now. Now, if you happen to fall, if you happen to fall into temptation and is overcome, don't stay away from home. You come on back. You come right here, because I'm going to be right here waiting for you. And I'm going to help you pray through again until you get victory. I'm going to stay with you. Because when I married you because I loved you. No matter what you are, I still love you.
Think about it.
2 days after that, he was eating his lunch with the fellows down in the boiler room. He was telling them about, so now, how could a man ever do anything wrong when somebody loves you like that? See? There you are. How could you trespass that confidence? And when we were sinners, alienated without God, in the world, in that muck of mud, as I talked about this morning, God come to us.
Amen.
God sought you. You never sought God. No man can come to me except the Father draws him first.
Right.
And God came down in that muck what you were and sought you out and brought you out. That ought to create a perfect love. Look what you were. And look what you are. What did that? Somebody that loves you. Can't you have faith in what he's promised you then? Real genuine love will create a confidence in his word. He caught me when I was nothing. I'm still nothing. But I'm in his hands. He caught me. And he loved me when I was unlovable. He loved you when he was unlovable. But he changed you. It's like the colored sister said that time in her testimony. She said, I'm not what I ought to be, and I'm not what I want to be. And then I'm not what I used to be. She Amen. Knows she'd come somewhere.
Amen.
Something happened. And that's the way it is. If God, when I was an alien from him, so loved me till he stooped down to get me and pick me up, that gives me confidence that he wants to use me. He's got a purpose in doing it. He's seen something in me. He's seen something in you. He had a reason to save you.
Yes.
Look at the people don't save today. Look at the millions he could have tucked beside you.
Yes.
But he took you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. No one can take your place. Amen. You're in God's economy.
Amen.
No one can do it. That's his love to you. Then won't your love reach right back to him? And there's a love affair. No matter what the situation is, its circumstances, it's governed by this love and creates faith.
Amen.
That God loves you and you love God and you love one another, and that brings the faith. All right. Then it can't keep from bringing out just exactly what God promised it would do. Now watch. Perfect faith is pure, just as
Amen.
Pure as love is. See? Now when you love somebody, and you love your husband, or you love your wife. Now, there's no need of anybody telling you you don't do it.
Amen.
Because you do it.
Amen.
And you know you do it. Now, if I ask you, how can you prove you do it? Well, I prove it by the way I live to him. See? I'm a true, honest wife. I'm a loyal, honest husband. And that proves to me that I love my wife or I love my husband. See? Your life proves what you are. The same thing Christianity does.
Amen.
See? Your faith, you have confidence in one another. It's pure. And it's something real that you can't show it to somebody else, yet you got it. And your actions prove it. And when you got pure, unadulterated faith, like your love is to your companions, then you prove it by the way you act.
Amen. Amen.
You ain't complaining no more. You know it's done. You just walk along. No matter what the thing looks like, what anybody else says, you know what's happened.
Amen.
You know that it's finished. Just as well as you know you love your husband. As well as you know you love. See, love and faith has to go together. They're kinfolks.
Yeah.
They love. Love produces faith. When Satan tempts us, we are to resist him in a perfect faith, in a perfect word, like Jesus did.
Yeah.
The word of God is perfect. We're to have perfect faith in this perfect word and resist Satan. Now we'll hurry just as quick as we can. By his faith in his word, we can conquer anything, both death, hell, and the grave. We know that God is God. That perfect faith in God's perfect word, he conquered everything that he come in contact with. Death cannot even stand in his presence.
Amen.
Sickness cannot stand in his presence. Flowing from him is like rivers of virtue going out constantly. Virtue going from his garments. These people laid in his shadow, stepped, put their finger on his garment and was healed. When that woman done that, then everybody wanted to touch his garment because they seen that there was virtue going from him constantly. Flowed like rivers. There he was, walking in a word with perfect faith because he was the Word. And now, if he abide in me, through him, he brought the word to you. And my words abide in you, then walk in the same kind of a way. Virtues flowing from you. The rivers of God's fountains of blessing just flowing out to the people. See what I mean? And you're not bluffing it. You're not imagining it. It's actually taking place. and you see it. If you just imagine that, don't do any good. But if it's really there, it really happened. Now notice, see, by it, when he stood, and he said, if you destroy this body, this temple, I'll raise it up again in 3 days. Why? He was just as satisfied he'd do that because the scripture said that he won't do it. The Messiah, I'll not leave his soul in hell, neither I'll suffer my Holy One to see corruption. A prophet, who the word comes to, had said that would happen, and he knew he was that person.
Yes.
And when the Jesus himself said the prayer of faith shall save the sick, or they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, if you would have the same perfect confidence that when hands are laid on me, I shall recover.
Amen.
Because he said so. He said, you destroy this body, and I'll raise it up, because he knew he was Messiah. I'll not suffer my Holy One to see corruption. He knew he was the Holy One. Neither will I leave his soul in hell. He didn't. He knew he'd do it. He had confidence that he was there to conquer both death and hell. Said, destroy it if you wish to. I'll raise it back again in 3 days. Oh, my. Well, I have power to lay my life down, or I have power to take it up again. He knew who he was. You're a Christian. You have rights to any redemptive blessing that Jesus died for you for. It's all yours. It's already paid for. You just have to believe it. Not imagine it, but believe it. And know that it's yours. And you can accept it. Oh, that's a conquering faith. No. He knew it would happen before he could predict that it would happen, because he knew it would happen. And whatever he predicted come to pass. Now watch. Whatever he said, God honored what he said. Think of that. Whatever Jesus said, God brought it to pass. So he knew his words were God's words. Now look, that same scripture comes right back into us again. If ye say to this mountain. Oh my. I just let that soak just a little bit, because we're going to have a prayer. We'll dismiss the congregation to pray for the sick. The ones that wants to have to go. Look. He knew that he pleased God. He knew that there was nothing on his life. God had already testified, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell in. At the day of his baptism, I'm pleased to make my abode in here. There's no condemnation to him at all. Now when the same God comes to you and is pleased to dwell in you, pleased to honor your word, what your decision is, what was Joshua's decision? Stand still, son! And it stood there.
Amen.
Sure. What was Moses' decision? Have him stick over the river like that and call for it to open, and open. See, whatever you ask, and if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt, see, in your heart, but believe that what you've said will come to pass, you can have what you say. That puts you back in the Word. Now, that's not skim milk. It puts you back. I know it jumps right over top of you, maybe, see? Because it can't anchor. But real, genuine faith catches that right now. I've seen it, friends. Here's this Bible laying open before me. I've seen it happen.
Amen.
And I know it's the truth. I know God in heaven knows that I might not live through to finish this message. But I know that it happened. I've seen it myself. I'm a witness of that word being fulfilled. And I know it is the truth.
Amen.
Say it! And stand there and see the Creator bring a living creature into existence. Right in presence of your eyes.
Yes.
You shake your head and wonder. And then look around and see him bring another one just exactly like it. Because you said so.
Yes.
And turn over here and say there will be another one there. And look, and there it is.
Yes.
Now that's the truth.
Amen.
Oh, where should we be? There's perfect faith.
Yes.
No vision. Just speak the word.
Amen.
Never saw the squirrel. He just said the scripture, what it was, and speak it.
Yes.
And don't doubt it.
once you stay, it'll be there. And I took God at His word, and it was there.
Amen.
That's right. That's just as powerful, and friend, as your pastor. That's just as powerful as it was when Joshua stopped the sun.
Amen.
Because the sun was already there. The elements was moving, and He stopped the movement. But this, He brought something there that wasn't there.
Amen.
He created.
Amen.
I'm so glad to be acquainted with a God that can take the dust of the earth someday without anything and call me back to life again.
Amen.
After I've been planted in the grave. Oh, my. There it is. My faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary.
Amen.
If you say and don't doubt, but believe that what you said, you shall have what you said. See? Believe it happened. David, in the psalm, spoke of it. And with it, he took his power and he ministered to others. Not only did he keep it to himself, but he ministered to others by it. Also saved others, even to the uttermost. And He can do the same thing now. And promise the same faith to the believers in His Word. In John 14:12, He said so, in Mark 16, and also in Mark 11:23, we just read. Now what?
Amen.
Now, He has appeared to us in the same form that He did to them in the Old Testament, and in the same as He did in the New Testament, and assured by the same word, the same Christ.
Yes.
And I declare to you that Christ is the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
The word Christ means the Anointed One.
Amen.
Just the person that's anointed, that is the Christ. The Anointed One. How many know that's true? That's true. The Anointed One. There will be a man that will be anointed. Anointed with what? The Bible said in Acts 2 that Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, anointed with the Holy Ghost, went about us and done great works and things. See?
Yes.
God manifested through that He was in this man. And now we become anointed.
Amen.
With that same Spirit.
Amen.
Anointed.
Yes.
Messiah.
Hallelujah.
Messiah of the last days. To shine forth the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to show that He is not dead, but in the form of the Holy Ghost, He's in His people, moving among His bride, with a love affair to her, pouring out into her Himself. They are becoming one for the wedding supper. And the same sign, promised by the same God in the same word, is making its same manifestation.
Amen.
Amen.
There's nothing left for us to do but believe it.
Amen.
And believe it, it's a substance.
Amen.
And that creates a perfect faith.
Amen.
Just think how numb we are.
Amen.
Just think of that just a minute. Now let's see. Has He done all things well?
Amen.
Has He ever told us anything but what happened just exactly the way He said? Hasn't He performed, and hasn't a great pillar of fire been among us and done just exactly like He promised to do? Haven't we seen it? Haven't science taken it? Haven't it been predicted what would happen? Go right there and have it, even in the papers and magazines, pass it right back and show it when it's told you months before it happened? Hasn't He done just exactly the way He did in the Old Testament and the New Testament?
Amen.
And just exactly the same one?
Amen.
The same Holy Spirit comes as discerner. And the Word of God, which is quicker and sharper than a two-edged sword, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Isn't that the same God? Now that same one is not a stranger off somewhere else. He's here.
Amen.
He sure does this to create a perfect faith. I feel Him. I know He's here now. I know that His Spirit is here. I know that He knows all things.
Amen.
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 And I know He wants to do something. He's been doing something to create this perfection of faith in the people.
Yes.
Are we going to walk into eternity like it was in the days of Noah and eight souls saved?
Yep.
Are we going to come like Lot with three out of Sodom?
Yep.
Are we going to come like in the days of John the Baptist with six believers? Let us believe.
Yep.
For He
they're manifested daily and perfectly before us, showing that He is the Word. The Word. Hebrews, the fourth chapter, says the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, even a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Think of that. The Word of God is that. A discerner of the intents of the heart. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and of spirit and of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word made flesh. Hallelujah. The Word operating in human flesh by physical signs, by material signs, by scriptural signs, perfectly to bring to you a perfect faith for a perfect rapture.
Hallelujah.
Why can't we look at it? Not a mystic. The devil has put everything in the world before he tries to make you keep you from believing it. He'll bring in a meeting and try to throw everything he can in front of you. Shake it away from you. The Bible says, rise and shake yourself. Pinch yourself. His spirit is here.
He knows you. You've got one thing to do, and that's to believe it, to accept it. He knows. You believe that?
Amen.
He knows what's in you. He knows what you are. He knows what you're desiring. He knows what you have need of.
You say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Brother Branham names those things off. I've seen it. I've done it. I've heard it. I've been there. I've handled it. It brings back to my mind in August of 64, sitting in the den with him for 4 hours with Brother and Sister Jackson. Brother Branham repeated, and that's the first time I heard all five of them in detail, the five times of the spoken word, the little fish, the three squirrels. And when he slid down out of that chair, like he's crouching in the forks of a tree on the ground, taking a nap, the thought comes to my mind, I'm either listening to a prophet of God or I'm listening to the biggest deceiver I've ever met. He stops. He looks over at me and says, Brother Perry, don't think like that. This is God. How can I not believe this? What else would you have God to do to spark your faith? What miracle do you want Him to perform? You know, He does get into it one time. He said, just once more, Lord. But that wasn't because the man didn't believe God could do it. He just had appreciated what God had done, but he needed one more miracle.
Yes, amen.
Let's not be so skeptical that we require God to do something else, but let's be so faithful that we can believe God can do anything.
Amen.
This is what He promised us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're a needy people always, Lord. We've seen Your mighty works. We've heard the voice of Your prophet. We've read in Your scriptures. And there's not a one of us right now that wouldn't say, I believe Your word is true. But Lord, increase our faith. Stir us up and may we see the necessity and the urgency that we need to do to actively manifest the faith that we have in You. We may love our husband or our wife, but it's important that we manifest it and say we love You. And we do things that show that. Lord, we may say we have faith, but Lord, let us perfect that faith by calling upon You and believing on You for the things that we have need of, and that our friends and our loved ones and our enemies and anybody that has a need, Lord, You are more than able to meet that need today. I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to make yourself real to us and stir us up in our hearts. Break up the fallow ground. That, Lord, let's just be words only, but let it be something that lives within us. In Jesus' name. Sweep over my soul. Let the Spirit of God come this morning. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. My rest is complete while I sit at His feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. And again, sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, we know that it's the Spirit of God in us if we'll have an atmosphere that let it come and be with us, that it's the thing that does us in our life. Flow through me, Holy Spirit. Flow through me. Flow through me, Holy Spirit. Johnny. God bless you.
As I lift my hands to worship and